Once upon a time, there was a king and a queen, and they had one son whose name was Billy. Now, Billy had a bull he was very fond of, and the bull was just as fond of him. So when it came time for the queen to die, she begged the king,
"My dear husband, you must promise me something."
"Anything, my dear."
"Well, you know how much our son Billy cares for his bull."
"Indeed I do."
"You must promise, then, that come what might, you will see that Billy and the bull are not separated."
"I'll do everything in my power to prevent such a thing."
And so the queen died, satisfied that her son would never lose his pet. After a time, the king married again. As it sometimes happens, the new queen could not stand Billy or the bull, so she asked her new husband,
"Good sir, surely you're not going to let your son spend so much time with a mere bull. Why, the boy smells of a barnyard. Have the animal killed so the boy can make healthy friendships."
"You don't understand. I'm under oath. I promised Billy's mother on her deathbed that, come what may, I would not part Billy Beg and his bull. I will not break my promise."
The new queen would not give up so easily and sent for the henwife.
"My good woman, what should I do about Billy Beg and his bull? His father will not separate them."
"What will you give me, and I'll very soon part them."
"You will? Why, anything at all."
"Then take to your bed as though you're very sick, and I'll do the rest."
And so the queen took to her bed, pretending to be very sick. Before long, the king came to see what could be done for her.
"Oh, I'll never be well again until I have the medicine the hen wife ordered."
"And what was that?"
"A mouthful of the blood of Billy Beg's bull."
You know I can't give you that. Remember my promise to his dying mother."
"You care more for a promise than you do for your living wife's life?"
The king went away, shoulders burdened with sadness, torn between loyalty to his dead wife and a desire to please his new queen. Then the queen pretended to get sicker and sicker. Each time the king asked what would cure her, she said,
"A mouthful of the blood of Billy Beg's bull."
The king could hold out no longer, since it looked as though she would die if she did not get the bull's blood. So he set a day for the bull to be killed, which made the queen very happy, and she laid plans to get up and watch the grand sight. All the people were invited to be at the killing, and it was to be a grand affair. Before long, Billy Beg heard what was being planned and was very sorrowful. The bull, who was sensitive to all of Billy's moods, asked his master,
"What are you drooping about for?"
"They're planning to kill you, my friend, and I can't bear the thought."
"Don't worry about me, Billy. It's not I who will be killed."
"What do you mean?"
"You'll have to wait and see."
Then the day came when Billy Beg's bull was to be killed. The people from all around were there, and the queen, and of course Billy. The bull was being led out to be seen before he was killed. As he passed where Billy was sitting, he bent his head and said,
"Jump on my back, Billy, my boy, till I see what kind of a horseman you are."
So Billy jumped on his friend's back, and the bull leaped 9 miles high and 9 miles broad and came down with Billy sticking between his horns. Then away he sped, stampeding over the head of the queen, which killed her instantly, and off over hills and valleys, traveling by day and by night, with Billy clinging to his horns all the time. At last they reached a great forest, and at its edge they stopped, and the bull said,
"Now, Billy, my boy, you and I must undergo a great test. There's a mighty bull of the forest whom I must fight. He'll be a hard one to master, but I'll be a match for him. First, though, we must have dinner. Put your hand in my left ear and pull out the napkin you'll find there. and when you've spread it, it will be covered with eating and drinking fit for a king. At least a king's son.
Billy did as the bull instructed. He put his hand in the bull's left ear and drew out the napkin and spread it. And sure enough, it was spread with all kinds of food and drink, finer than any he'd ever had before, and with plenty of ice cream for dessert. While Billy was finishing up his sumptuous meal, he heard a great roar.
What's that? Oh, dear, here comes that mighty bull you told me about. Watch out, my friend.
But Billy's bull was too busy to hear Billy's words as he met the great bull running and snorting across the field. The two bulls fought so hard that they knocked the hard ground into soft and the soft ground into hard, the rocks into spring wells and the spring wells into rocks. It was a terrible fight, but in the end, Billy's bull was too strong for the other bull and he killed him, then drank his blood. Billy's bull called out,
"Come on, my lad! Jump onto my back and away we'll go!"
So Billy did as he was told, and off they went as fast as the wind, traveling over hills and valleys till you wouldn't know night from day. They raced over high hills and low hills, sheep walks and bullock traces, until at last they reached another forest. The bull stopped and once again told Billy to put his hand into his left ear and pull out a napkin. Billy did as he was told. He spread the napkin on the ground, and it was covered with all kinds of food and drink fit for a king's son. While Billy was eating, the bull said,
"Billy, my boy, I'm going to have to fight another mighty bull from this great forest. He'll be even mightier than the first."
Sure enough, a moment later there was a huge roar. And an enormous bull rumbled towards them out of the forest. Billy's bull didn't flinch, but challenged the other until they were fighting so hard that they knocked the hard ground into soft, and the soft ground into hard, the rocks into spring wells, and the spring wells into rocks. It was a terrible fight, but in the end, Billy Begg's bull killed the other one and drank his blood. Then off he raced again with Billy on his back. As they were galloping over the hills and valleys, the bull said,
"Billy, my boy, I'll soon have to fight another bull, the brother of the two I've killed. This time the bull will be too mighty for me and will kill me and drink my blood. When I'm dead, Billy, my boy, put your hand in my left ear and draw out the napkin, and you'll never want for eating or drinking. Then if you put your hand in my right ear, you'll find a stick there that will turn into a sword if you wave it 3 times round your head. It will give you the strength of 1,000 men beside your own. You must keep that. Then cut a strip of my hide and make a belt out of it. When you wear that belt, nothing can kill you."
By now, they had reached another forest and could hear a roar more dreadful than any they had heard before. A moment later, a tremendous bull rushed out of the forest, and then came the worst fight of all. In the end, the other bull was too much for Billy Begg's bull, and he killed him and drank his blood. Billy Begg sat down and cried for 3 days and 3 nights, shaken by the loss of his friend. But then he remembered the bull's instructions, realizing he was hungry. He put his hand in the bull's left ear and drew out the napkin.
"How can I be sad when my friend has left me so much? This napkin is covered with more food than I can ever eat. Let me see. He told me to put my hand in his right ear and pull out a stick. Ah, here it is. Now I need to make a belt out of the bull's hide so I can start on my adventures. My friend will always be with me as long as I have these things to remember him by."
Billy cut a strip of the bull's hide that he wrapped around his waist, picked up his stick, and away he went. Pretty soon he came to a fine place surrounded by pasture land and animals.
"I'll just knock on that door and ask for a job. That's what I'll do."
And so he did. An old gentleman opened the door.
"Are you wanting a boy to work for you?"
I'm wanting a herd boy to take my 6 cows, 6 horses, 6 donkeys, and 6 goats to pasture every morning and bring them back at night. Maybe you'll do.
What are you paying?
Oh, well, it's no use to talk of that now. 3 giants live in the wood by the pasture, and every day they drink up all the milk and kill the boy who looks after the cattle. There's no use talking about salary till we see if you come back alive. Billy wasn't scared easily, especially now that he had such a fine protection, so he agreed to the old man's conditions and began work immediately. On his first day at work, he drove the 6 cows, 6 horses, 6 donkeys, and 6 goats to pasture and sat down by them. All was quiet until about noon when he heard a kind of roaring and crashing in the woods. Out rushed a giant with 2 heads and fire spitting out of his 2 mouths. He called out to Billy,
"Hey, my fine fellow! You're too big for 1 swallow and not big enough for 2! So how would you like to die? By a cut with a sword, a blow with a fist, or a swing by the back?"
"I'm not ready to die, and I'm not afraid to fight you."
"Ho, ho, ho! You think you're a match for someone like me?"
"Just you wait. I'll be ready to fight you in just a minute."
Billy buckled on his hide belt and swung his stick 3 times around his head to give him the strength of 1,000 men besides his own. Then he went for the giant. With no trouble at all, he lifted the giant up and then sunk him into the ground so hard that he was stuck up to his shoulders.
"Oh, mercy, mercy, spare my life!"
"I think not. You'll just kill some other herd boy."
So Billy cut off the giant's heads, then drove the cows and goats home. They gave so much milk that all the dishes in the house were filled, and the milk ran over and made a little brook in the yard. The old gentleman was very puzzled.
"This is very strange. These animals never gave any milk before. Didn't you see anything in the pasture, Billy?"
"I saw nothing worse than myself."
Billy grinned to himself as he ambled off to bed. The next morning, he again drove the 6 cows, 6 horses, 6 donkeys, and 6 goats to pasture. Just before noon, he heard another terrific roar. Out of the wood came a giant, more hideous than the first. He had 6 heads and was roaring angrily with fire streaming out of his 6 mouths.
"You killed my brother, and I'll very soon have your blood. Will you die by a cut of the sword or a swing of the back?"
"I'll not be killed that easily. I'll fight you first."
Again, Billy buckled on his belt and swung his stick 3 times round his head. Then he ran at the giant and began struggling with him. At the first hold, he sunk the giant up to his shoulders in the ground.
"Oh, mercy, mercy, kind gentlemen! Spare my life!"
"I think not."
And so saying, Billy cut off the giant's 6 heads. That night, the cattle gave so much milk that it ran out of the house and made a stream that turned a mill wheel which had not been turned for 7 years. The old gentleman was even more puzzled.
"It's certainly very queer. Did you see nothing in the pasture, Billy?"
"Nothing worse than myself."
The next morning, the old gentleman met Billy as he was getting ready to take the animals to pasture, and he said,
"Do you know, Billy, I only heard one of the giants roaring in the night, and the night before, only 2. What do you suppose can ail them?"
"Oh, maybe they're sick or something."
With that, Billy drove the 6 cows, 6 horses, 6 donkeys, and 6 goats to pasture. At about 10 o'clock, a roar rose up out of the woods. It was equivalent to 12 bulls. Then the brother of the two giants came rushing out of the wood. This one had 12 heads with fire spouting from every one of them. The giant cried out,
I'll have you, my fine boy! How then will you choose to die?
We'll see about that. Come on, I'll fight you.
A little twerp like you? Why, I'll take care of you in no time.
But the giant was doomed as Billy swung his stick around his head, then lunged at the giant, driving him into the ground so that only the 12 heads were visible. All 12 heads begged for mercy, but Billy would have none of it and cut them off, then drove the beasts home. That night, the milk overflowed the mill stream and made a lake 9 miles broad and 9 miles deep, filled with salmon and other fish that are there to this day. The old gentleman was much pleased with the lad and said,
You're a fine boy, Billy. I will pay you a wage. You've proven yourself able to be the herd boy. Tomorrow I want you to look after the house while I go to the king's town to see a great sight.
And what is that you're going to see, sir?
The king's daughter is to be eaten by a fiery dragon unless the champion fighter they've been preparing for 6 weeks can kill the dragon.
Oh, I see. Well, enjoy yourself.
After the old gentleman left, Billy watched the people passing on horses and afoot, in coaches and in chaises, in carriages and in wheelbarrows, all going to see the great sight.
Hey, lad, aren't you coming to town to see the dragon eat the king's daughter?
No, I think not.
But as soon as the last passerby was out of sight, Billy ran inside and dressed himself in his master's best suit of clothes, took the brown mare from the stable, and was off to the king's town. When he arrived, he saw a big round place with great high seats built up all around it. All the people were sitting there. In the arena in the center was the champion who had been prepared to challenge the dragon. He walked up and down proudly with two men behind him to carry his heavy sword. Up in the center of the seats was the princess with her maidens. Billy saw her and thought to himself,
She's surely the most beautiful maiden, but very nervous, as she should be with her life at stake. Uh-oh, it looks as though the fight is about to begin. The herald's crying out that the champion will fight the dragon for the princess's sake. But what's that roaring I hear?
Here he is! Now! It's the dragon!
And so it was. It had more heads than the biggest of the giants, and fire and smoke came from every one of them. When the champion saw the creature he was to fight, he shrieked and ran away without even taking up his sword, and he never stopped until he came to a deep well. Into the well he jumped and hid himself up to his neck. The princess was terribly upset and cried out,
Oh, please, kind gentlemen, fight the dragon, some of you, and keep me from being eaten. Will no one fight the dragon for me?
No one stepped up at all, and the dragon was just about to eat the princess when out stepped Billy from the crowd, wearing his borrowed fine suit of clothes and his hide belt. He called out to the princess,
I'll fight the beast!
Then he swung his stick 3 times round his head to give him the strength of 1,000 men besides his own, and walked up to the dragon. While the princess and all the people watched in wonder, the dragon raged at Billy with all his mouths, and they at it and fought. It was a terrible fight, but in the end, Billy Bay got the dragon down and cut off his heads with the sword.
Hooray! Hooray! The dragon's been slain!
The princess's life is saved!
Hooray!
Bring that stranger to the king. He must be made a prince, and the princess will want to see him.
While everyone was shouting and carrying on, Billy climbed onto his brown mare and rode off before anyone could see his face. But before he could get away, the princess caught hold of his shoe as he jumped onto his horse and was still holding it as Billy rode away. It wasn't long until Billy reached his master's house.
He quickly put back his master's clothes and got into his old ones and put the mare back in the stable before his master returned. When the old gentleman arrived home, he had a great tale for Billy.
"Billy, my lad, you should have been there. The princess's champion ran away from the dragon without fighting it, and a strange knight came out of the crowd and killed the dragon. Before anyone could stop him, the stranger had disappeared. Isn't it wonderful?"
"I should say so. Wonderful indeed."
Soon there was a proclamation from the king that said the man who killed the dragon was to be found so he could be made son of the king and husband to the princess. Billy asked his master about the decree.
"Sir, how will they find this stranger who slayed the dragon for the princess?"
"Well, my lad, they say the princess pulled a shoe off the stranger's foot before he rode away, so everyone is called to come up to the king's town and try on the shoe. The man who fits it will be the man who wins the princess in marriage."
"I see."
On the day that had been set aside to find the stranger, there was a great flurry of people passing in coaches and carriages and wheelbarrows, people on horseback and people walking. Billy's master was among the first to go, but Billy stayed back, waiting and watching. At last came a raggedy man down the street. Billy approached him and said,
"If you change clothes with me, I'll give you some money."
"Shame on you to mock a poor raggedy man."
"Wait, I'm not mocking you. I want to change clothes with you."
"You're sure?"
"Yes, yes."
"Very well."
And so Billy changed clothes with the raggedy man and gave him some money, then was off to the king's town. In his dreadful old clothes, no one would have taken him to be the champion who had slayed the dragon, and none would let him come forward to try the shoe. It was nearing the end of the day, and still the man hadn't been found who fit the shoe. At last Billy spoke up.
"Look, why don't you give me a chance to try the shoe?"
Did you hear what he said? "This bag of rags wants to try the shoe."
"Get away with you, man.
You're not fit to look at the princess, far less consider becoming her husband."
Get out of here."
But the princess saw all this and intervened for Billy.
"Wait, he should have a try like everyone else. Besides, I like his face. Let him try now."
The crowd was taken aback at the princess's words and grumbled among themselves, but they made way for Billy, who stepped up and put on the shoe. It fit him like his own skin.
"Did you see that?
He's the man!
He's the one who slayed the dragon!
And the search is over!"
Then Billy confessed that it was he who had killed the dragon and that he actually was a king's son. It wasn't long before he was wearing a velvet suit instead of the rags, with a gold chain around his neck, and everyone said a finer-looking lad had never been seen. So Billy married the princess and was the prince of that place.
That story was a lot like Cinderella, Princess Tamalpa.
Yes, except Billy's shoe wasn't made of glass.
And Cinderella didn't have to slay a dragon.
That's right, but our time's not dragon. We have to go.
Speaking of dragons, Princess Tamalpa, is a Toby waiting for you outside?
He sure is. Want a ride?
I thought you'd never ask. And you listeners can join us by using your wonderful imagination dragons. Tune in next week,
same time, same station, for the Story Shop.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. The Story Shop is a creation of Lily Ionesusi and Gail Whitmire Mills.